first slide. But tonight's talk is called Fire, Denial and Roosters. And this is just something that's just been on my heart while I was praying for what should I preach on. And this just kept coming up, and it was just this idea of that there's three temptations, or three stages of temptations that we'll go through, that Peter went through while denying Jesus, sorry. So I'm just going to share, like, I'm a huge fan of bonfires. Like, if it's winter and I'm at someone else's house, I want to be near a bonfire. There needs to be marshmallows, of course, and I don't know if there's anyone else that's a fan of fires, but I love them. And I just love how just getting around people, talking at those places, and it's just the perfect place to hang out. And my favourite thing is to find that little spot where it's not so hot that you're burning, but then it's not so cold where you feel like Antarctica coldness on your back and then like heat on your front. But again, that like kind of perfect spot. And that's just something I love to find, and I love the smell of wood, and I love the smell of just when you walk outside your house and there's someone that has a fire next to your house, and you're just like, yeah, they're having a good time. And I don't know if there's anyone else that feels a fan of those, but I'm pretty sad that it's like in the next month that there'll be no more fires anymore, and it's just fire ban season, which kind of sucks, but I understand. So Peter was near a fire when he denied Jesus. And yeah, as I said, like, I believe there was three stages of temptation that he went through. Those three temptations were fire and denial and then the rooster. I just want to share what that means and how it was fairly from like a light temptation to suddenly it got way too big. And while I was praying, this word just kept coming up, and I pray and hope that my own human flesh doesn't get in the way of what God has installed for you tonight. And I just want to pray just before we jump straight into the word. Dear God, I just thank you for Powerful Gardens, and that you just are such a beacon of light within this suburb, and you're doing great things. And I just pray for the words that you have installed for tonight, that they're not of my own, but they're of you, and they will speak to the lives that need to hear it, and just for people that are going through temptation or through difficulties and through other times, and those that have already gone through that and are recovering from that. And just pray that hearts will be open for your word and for your goodness and your love. And just give this all to you. Amen. So my first point for tonight is called fire. And I'm just going to read Luke 22, 54, I think it's just 54 and 56. Oh, 54 and 55, sorry. So then, seizing him, they led him away and took him into the house of the high priest. Peter followed at a distance. And when some there had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard, and he sat down together, Peter sat down with them. Sorry, my mouth gets really dry while I'm up on stage. I got my new bottle, thanks to youth team for my last camp. So if anyone that's new tonight and hasn't heard the story of Jesus, Peter was a follower of Christ. He was one of the 12 disciples, and was one that walked on water. He was one that saw countless miracles. He was one who defended Jesus when he was getting arrested. He was one that who said that he would not deny him nights before this happened. But here, Peter's walking at a distance behind Jesus, not wanting anyone to know him, that he's walking like he is a follower of Christ. But there was a fire that was super appealing for him, and he just felt like, I need to go near that fire. And like, I feel I know why. Like, when we're at our lowest, we try to fill something else that's like a Jesus-shaped hole with something else. And he was walking at a distance and just wanted, like, there's something appealing about a fire, and he was like, nah, I need to go over there. And he was already weak at that point. Like, as it says, he was walking at a distance. And he wasn't super close. and there was just something that was appealing and it tripped him up. And that's just the first stage of maybe why he started denying Jesus. Like around that fire, there was people that he probably shouldn't have been hanging around because they hated Jesus, and they were in the courtyard of the high priest and they just wanted anything against him. So as people, followers, we have our own struggles. I'm not going to deny that. Like, I'm not perfect. I'm getting here behind this lectern as a normal person, and hey, I have my problems too. And sometimes we wonder why we get stuck in these situations. We think, why did God let me slip up? And God, you know I have addiction or something that's just keeps happening. Maybe it's something completely different, like insecurity. Maybe it's a bad friendship group that are leading you into bad habits of maybe like drinking or alcohol. Drinking is alcohol or drugs. but we have a habit of blaming God for this. But maybe it isn't God. Maybe it's just the bonfire that you are hanging around near. Maybe you're just getting way too close to it. And somehow we seem to think, how close can we get to this fire pit before it starts burning my leg hairs off? Maybe you're thinking you're going to miss out on something if you don't get near it. And maybe you just need to rug up and keep walking with Jesus, stay away from the bonfire in the first place. But that might not sound that appealing. And so we just tend to go near a fire that we shouldn't be hanging around. We should be looking towards Jesus the whole time, but we don't. And so I just lost where I was. So when we start, looking at Jesus within our lives, we find, just something that we don't need to fill a hole with. And when we don't look at him, there's just a hole that's missing, and we start looking for other things that will fill that hole. And I know when I've been at my lowest, even just feeling like rubbish, I look at the last time. When was the last time I read the word? When was the last time I prayed? When was the last time I even thought about God and how good he is? And suddenly I feel guilty because I haven't done those things in a while. And then I feel, oh man, God is never going to forgive me for this. So I distance myself even more than when I was before. And so we try to fill this Jesus-shaped hole with other stuff. And when that bonfire just starts to feel more and more appealing. And so we start hanging around the wrong type of people, and people that we know will have a bad influence on us. And they look like they're having fun. And I'm sure that Peter felt that as well. It looked like bonfire people were having a whole heap of fun that night. And it only just starts as just once, but then it comes something like once a week, and then it becomes something more. The people we hang around honestly have a huge influence in who we are, and it's just one way we can trip up. And as we get closer, we start to let our guard down. We start letting the small things into our lives, the things that might start off as a small and then become a huge issue. When we start hanging out with people who are into substance abuse, that suddenly will become a problem for us if we aren't careful. And that's why we need to look at Jesus, why we can't just look towards the fire. We just need to start looking towards Jesus in those points. And there's just one way we can fall for a fire. And the fire may seem really appealing at the time, but it will lead to a burn if we aren't careful. And so how often are we blaming God for putting us through this trial? It's like being our own fault in the first place. Because we're getting too close, we might as well just jump into a fire. Because there is no hope for us. And when we look at this passage, the one thing that stands out most is we need to go back to Jesus. When we need to have eyes for Jesus and only him. As we read, Peter was walking at a distance. It didn't say he was walking alongside Jesus. It says at a distance. So we just need to get close to Christ again. We need to start walking with Christ so the fires aren't so appealing. Jesus wants you to come back. Jesus loves you and has a plan for you. I don't know what's holding some of you guys back, and you're getting stuck in your fire, but start reading the Bible and start praying for protection or even just a new revelation for him. Start walking with God again. Or even if it's your first time, if there's anyone here that just wants to try things out, Jesus loves you and he wants to be in a relationship with you, and we only can do that if we look towards him. So that's just the first stage that I feel that was temptation, and it does get worse. And like the second stage that is called denial, which is in same thing, it's just verse 56 to 60. A servant girl saw him seated in the firelight. She looked closely at him and said, "This man was with him." But he denied it. "Woman, I don't know him, he said. A little later, someone else saw him and said, "You are also one of them." "Man, I'm not," Peter replied. About an hour later, another asserted, "Certainly this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean." Peter replied, "Man, I don't know what you're talking about." So I'll just leave it there. But Jesus, just like Peter, some of us might be going through our own denials. These denials are the things that just keep us up at night. The things we're hooked on that is just so easy for us to slip into. These denials may come from hanging around the fire for too long, or they actually might be just normal denials. Some of us might have our denials for every day, time we go to school or work or uni, when someone asks us, "Do you believe in God?" and we say no. And we just do that awkward like laugh, and it's just like trying to reject it. But then like they might question more, like, "But I saw you get tagged into a post on Facebook." And then you just try so hard to deny what they're saying, and you just feel guilty for the love of Christ that he has for you, but you're trying to reject it. But maybe you deny it was something else. Maybe you deny it was insecurity. Maybe you tell yourself that you aren't good enough. Or I'm just not as good as that person that's next to me. That guy has a six-pack and I don't. Or that girl has everything and I'm just not good enough. Insecurity is a huge thing and has been ever since the invention of social media. And it's just going to keep getting worse if we don't look towards Christ. And this insecurity is eating you up. You are finding it easier just to be complacent that you aren't good enough. And these thoughts are so deep into your ways of living that you can't possibly think of another way. Maybe a denial is you're addicted to something. Maybe it's alcohol, drugs, pornography, lying, or maybe it's something else. We have our denials. The things we tell others that we lie and we try to cover it up, but secretly we know that it's something more. Maybe this addiction has become such a bad habit that when you don't do it, you just don't feel right. I don't know what's going in some of you guys' lives, but what I can tell you is that these addictions or denials can be and will be broken. They are not of God. They are of the enemy, and it's the one job for the enemy is to seek and destroy Christians. And through addictions is just an easy way for him to get in. In these denials, we already have distanced ourselves away from Christ. The fire looks so appealing, and these might be secret addictions, so we haven't got anyone keeping us accountable. If you have an addiction and you want it to be broken, I would highly recommend tonight that you talk to someone after this message and just get them to pray for you, because addictions can be broken. That's just a side note, sorry. But I had my own denial in my life. I asked God to take it away from me. I'm going to be very upfront with you guys. I'm not perfect. I had a huge major insecurity problem. I hated the way I looked. I would see others and think, "Oh man, I wish I had that." And they seemed like they have it all together. But I just wasn't happy with my life, and I just started praying to God. I'm like, "God, just take this away from me." And to be honest, it didn't happen straight away. It was day by day, things got a little bit better, and they got a little bit better. And suddenly, that denial went out of my life. And that's just one denial for me, and it changed my life. And if you give it to God, it will change your life as well. Because God wants to take these denials or addictions away from you. So through Jesus, those denials can be broken tonight. Those things that are stashed away in your brain or in your heart that no one knows about can be broken. You may think that no one knows, but God does. but God doesn't hate you for it. God loves you for it. He wants to rescue you from it. But you need to be ready, and you need to take that leap in the first place. You need to reach out to him and start praying against those denials. So my third point is around the rooster. In verse 60 to 62, it says, "Just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him. 'Before the rooster crows today, you would disown me three times.' And he went outside and wept bitterly." So my third point for the night is that, based on the rooster crowing, when the rooster crows, it's that you are so deep and stuck into your situation. This might be when the addiction that no one knows about, that thought pattern that is running you to the ground, or whatever it is, you are so close to that fire that you're worried you're just never going to get out. You know that moment when you put a marshmallow into a fire and it starts to burn light, and then you're like, "Oh yeah, I'll just leave it in a little bit longer," and then it falls into the fire? That's probably how you're feeling. That is just like, yeah, there's no hope for that marshmallow anymore. That's gone. And that no one can save you. And every time you hear that rooster crow, you just fall apart. As it said that Peter wept bitterly. It's just not as sad. Like, it just wasn't just like, "Oh, I had a light cry." He fell apart. And that might be how you're feeling. That you wake up every day and you think, "Man, I'm having a great day." But then that rooster crows and that reminder happens that you've done something, that you are a sinner, or that you are just not good enough. And you just fall apart. And that rooster is just crowing and won't stop. And you're just trying to make it stop, but you can't. And suddenly you just trip up again and you feel like God will never forgive you. It says in this passage that Peter remembered that Jesus told him that he would deny him. I love it because he forgot just after a couple days, and that Jesus told him something about his future, and he just forgot that he would trip up. And so often as followers, we think, "Oh yeah, we'll become a Christian," and suddenly we think, "Oh yeah, I'm going to be perfect," and then we forget that flesh, it just happens, and we're not perfect, and we somehow slip up. But as Peter said those words near that, like with that third person who was next to the fire, that rooster crowed, and that reminder happened. And Peter instantly knew that he had stuffed up big. Like, I'm not talking about just leaving like dishes on the sink in soak, because I think that's a sin. But I'm talking a little bit bigger than that. And when that rooster crows, the Lord looked at him. And like, what I see in this is that, you know, Jesus wasn't just like distance. Like, he was in that same space, watching Peter sin against Jesus, watching him deny Jesus. And God's seen the exact same thing in your lives, that every time we stuff up, God's there watching it, and his heart's breaking. And that's just a reminder of his love, that like, he wants you to come back in the first place. And like, he just loves you so much that it doesn't matter how much you are stuffing up, that yeah, he just wants you to be back. So I don't know if there is anything in like with us tonight, but I feel that there might be someone struggling with their rooster crowing, that you just feel like you're falling apart every 5 seconds, but every time you come to a Sunday, it's great, and then you're trying to act like you're happy, but maybe Monday to Saturday that rooster's crowing. And yeah, I just want to remind you that you are forgiven, but you need to reach out to God in the first place, and you need to ask for forgiveness, and you need to ask for protection. If that is anyone tonight, I would highly recommend you to talk to someone. There's, I'm sure, great people here that you could talk to, but yeah, honestly, just get someone to pray for you. And so I know it's a pretty heavy sermon of how much we stuff up in our lives, and that how we can't do everything on our own strength. But it says in John 21, 15 to 17, but I'll just give you some background before I get into it. Peter and a few other disciples were fishing. For Jesus, they were fishermen. So they were out in the water, they couldn't catch anything. And as you may know, Jesus was crucified after the passage in Luke 22. But he came back from the dead and went to visit the disciples a few times. I know they're pretty cool that he just rocked up whenever he felt like, but that's besides the point. As the guys were out fishing, Jesus was on the shoreline. He asked, "Have you caught anything?" And they weren't 100% sure if it was Jesus or not, but they had a fairly good idea it was. And Jesus asked them to chuck in their nets. Again, they picked up a huge load of fish, and Jesus was hungry, so he wanted to eat. He cooked up a huge lot of fish and bread, which sounds amazing. And so that's where verse 15 starts. So I'll just read that. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said. "You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." How good is this? So Peter stuffed up big time in the first place, but Jesus forgave him. Peter had to tell Jesus that he loved him three times for his forgiveness. But what stands out most for me is, yes, he is forgiven. But every time Peter says, "I love you," Jesus responds with, "Then go feed my sheep, go feed my lambs, and take care of them." He's referring to us. He says, "You may have stuffed up, and you may have broken my heart, but go look after the ones that whose hearts are broken. Find the lost, and feed them with my word, and look after them." What I'm getting out of this passage is that we are forgiven first. It doesn't matter how much we have stuffed up. God says, "I love you," and he wants you to rescue others as well who are struggling. And that's just a part of your testimony, that maybe those denials or the fires you're getting near, or the when the rooster crows, that will become a part of your testimony that will be an influence in someone else's life when you are lucky enough to share it. And tonight you might be battling some type of addiction or insecurity. Maybe you just want to come back to Christ, or maybe you just want to meet Christ for the first time and give your life to him. And life without Christ is, there's just no point. We are wondering why, like, when you're outside of the love of Christ, that you just walk around, you just don't know the meaning of life. And God loves you no matter what, and we are called to be in a relationship with him. We're called to bring others into Christ, and we're as followers and just to love people, and that's, yeah, what we're called to do. And but through Christ, our sins are forgiven. We know that we are loved. We know we are his children, and he is our father. You may feel like your rooster is crowing, and it won't stop crowing, and there's nothing you can physically do about it. Well, a relationship with Christ can change that. Sure, it won't be easy, but nothing is, and I would highly recommend having someone to keep you accountable if it is an addiction. But addictions can be broken. We just need to go back from that fire and start standing next to Christ again. We need to stop our denials, and we need to start saying that I love you to Jesus, and that I'm broken and I need you. And yeah, I just want to pray for you guys tonight that if there's anyone that's going through this, that there are people that will be happy to pray for you. So yeah, just want to close your eyes. Dear God, we just thank you for your word, and you thank you that we are beloved children of Christ, and that we're beloved children of you, and that it doesn't matter how much we have stuffed up or how close we're getting to this fire, that we can back away from it, and we can start standing next to you, and we can start saying how much I love you, God, and that it doesn't matter, and we are called to love others, and we're called to share our testimonies and that of our struggles, that that will be an influence in someone else's life, and that will be an influence that might break them out of an addiction. And so just pray for everyone's weeks that the rooster or the fire or the denials that are our temptations in life, that they will stop and they will, just become nothing, and that we will just start looking towards you. And so just give this all to you. Amen.
Please stand as we sing our last song.